Yeah. We're on. All right. So let's pray. Lord, we come to you this morning. We are so thankful. Again, Lord, you're our Father. Lord, we can celebrate every dad in this house, and Lord, we celebrate some really great dads. But Lord, you said even, Lord, us being human, Lord, and being evil, Lord, know how to give good gifts, but even how much more do you, Lord, as our Heavenly Father. So Lord, today we celebrate you and we thank you. But Lord, we ask you most of all, Lord, even as we open your word now and as we, Lord, want to hear what you have to say to us, Lord, speak to your people this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Right on. I love being a father. It's my passion, really, in life. And I mean, before I was a father, I had the opportunity to lead teenagers. I've led teenagers now for the last 30 years and really have loved to be with young people and kids and just enjoying watching them and seeing them become who God's called them to be. I think it's a big deal in our culture to be a dad. I think one of the things that's been demeaned the most in our culture over these bunch of last, 10, 15, 20 years, maybe even from the 60s, is the value of being a man, of being strong, of leading well, of having an opinion, and going for what you've been called to go for. I think that as men, we need to stand up and be men. I think that's cool to be a man. I think it's really cool that women are women. I think my wife is gorgeous. We've been married 19 years, it's going to be 20 years on Wednesday. We're celebrating our 20th, and she's a beautiful woman, and I'm happy she's beautiful, and I'm happy she's feminine, and I'm happy she has all the lady traits and all those things that make her a woman. I'm really happy about that. I'm glad that she's not like me, and I'm glad that I'm not like her. I'm glad that God's created me strong, that God's created me to protect, that God's created me to provide. Although she works and she does what she does, but God has made us as men special. You as men are special. And I think sometimes we've been relegated to the back row and been treated like morons. And I'm tired of being treated like a moron. I believe that men are called and men have a job and men have a responsibility in your family. I think that what we need to understand, though, is that now we need to stand up as fathers and do what's good. And I have to say, in this house, there's some great dads. I think there's some great men. Like, I love doing life in this church because there are some really great, great men and great fathers. As you can see by reading your bulletin this morning, I mean, not everybody wrote and really wish that more people would have wrote, because I think that when you read what other people have written, it kind of stirs you to want to write some. Because I think one of the things that we need to learn is to really appreciate and to value the people in our lives. And today it's the day to value our dads. Today, though, I want to acknowledge the fact, if you see in the bulletin, there's one anonymous kind of comment on the bottom of the first page that says, "My father abandoned our family when I was 5. And sometimes as growing up the way I grew up, I forget that not everybody has good relationships with their dad. I had a great dad. I had a great dad that was imperfect, as all of you know. He was a farmer. And I remember when he first, got saved. And I remember when he first started to pastor, he was using some farm words, all the time on the farm. And I was always afraid he'd use them off the pulpit, And it was like, he wasn't a perfect man, but he was a good man. And he loved his family. And he gave us a great platform to launch off of as men in our house. My dad didn't have a great dad. My dad, his dad was gone when he was 2. He wasn't a good man by any means. He wasn't good to his family. He wasn't good to his wife. He really abandoned them. And my dad was 2 years old when that happened. And I think that he understood what a lot of you that went through bad things with fathers understand. My dad had to live with shame because of his father. But my father got past it. My father, I think, he never really talked a lot about it, but I think he had to come to the point where he said, okay, that's the past. Let's move on toward the future. Let's move on. Because my dad, if you knew him, he was one of the best fathers in the world. He was responsive to us, not reactive. He responded well. When we went through stuff, he was strong. He was really strong. Sometimes we got, a little bit mopey as boys, and we found out how strong he was. But there was really, there was a real deep and genuine love. But what I want to say this morning, for those of you that never had a dad, or that your dad hurt you, I just really want to say, as a dad, I'm really sorry for that. Should never have been that way. You should have had someone that cares for you. You should have had someone to watch out for you. Someone to lead you. Someone to help you build and someone to help you fix and someone to cry on their shoulder and someone to talk to. I'm sorry, as a dad, that one of ours represented that. But truthfully, God's come to set you free and to give you a new life. And He's here today and He loves you. I have this really cool picture in my yard right now. I like planting trees. I really like trees. And when I cut my yard, I got 3 acres, and I counted the other day, I planted 80 trees in my yard since we've lived there for the last 15 years, and plus another 100 or so shrubs and plants. And I have some trees that are really kind of special to me that I have. Like, I have a sycamore tree in my yard because it reminds me of Zacchaeus, right? Who was really far from God, but was really hungry for God. So when I drive through my yard, I pray when I drive past my sycamore tree for those people that need to know God, that are searching for Him, that they'll have a way to find Him, that they'll have a way to connect with God. I have a little oak tree in my yard that I planted. It's a really slow grower. It's only, this tall. But I know oak is strong, and whenever I drive past that oak tree on my lawnmower, I always thank God for His strength. So anyway, my friend owns a garden center, and this past spring he was clearing out a lot of his old stock, and he was going to throw it in the garbage. And I'm being Dutch and liking trees, and I got about 40 plants from him. And one of the plants, so they were sitting in my driveway, and I was watering them and taking care of them, but there was a couple that just never seemed to leaf out or to grow. So I had this one tree. It's called an emerald cascading locust. It's a really beautiful tree, expensive tree, and I was like, I want this tree to grow, but it's been sitting in the pot, and up till last week, we know that leaves have already come out a long time. If they're not out by now, they're not coming out, right? Well, this weeping emerald locust, it had these little tiny buds that you could hardly see on it, and I was like, that tree is alive. That tree is alive. I'm not going to let that tree die. So I kept watering it and keep seeing the bare branches. And I keep watering it and keep seeing the bare branches. And then I thought, well, this tree is missing something. So I dug a big hole because it was a big pot. I dug a big hole. I pulled the tree out of the pot. I scratched up the roots. I put some fertilizer in the hole. I planted the tree. And now a week and a half later, it's covered with leaves. It's covered with leaves. What seemed dead, when given the right environment, came back to life. Right? And if you're here this morning and your idea of a father is dead, then today I just want to tell you, if you get in the right environment, you can come back to life. Nothing is too late. I don't know about you as dads, but as a father, there's a lot of times where I just feel like, I hope I'm getting this right. Sometimes I panic. Sometimes I see, like the way things are going, and I have good boys, and they're good men, and they're kind to people, and they're caring, and they're generous, and they love God. But every once in a while, I'm like, oh, am I getting this right? Because there's really no way, right? There's no real handbook on raising kids. There's no one kid that's exactly the same. I don't know. Did you find this for dads raising boys? Or girls. I have 2 kids that grew up in the same house. They have the same rules, the same parents, same environment, but they're so totally different from each other. And how I deal with one and how I respond to another is so different than the other. And it's just like, How do you figure this out? And not only do they, are they different from each other, but they change, right? Like when Levi was a little guy, he was like, he couldn't get enough of his father. He was like always sitting on me, hugging me, talking to me, carrying on. And Logan was like Mr. Distant. He was like, I don't really want anything to do with you, Dad. I love Mom. Stay away from me. You know, and I was like, oh, man, what did I do to the kid, you know? But then about, you know, a certain time, their roles reversed. And all of a sudden, Logan's hanging on me and talking to me and sharing all his thoughts with me. And Levi's more quiet and doesn't really want to, you know, show affection. And like, so everything is always changing. And like sometimes as dads, I think we feel like, did we get this right? Are we doing good? Are we giving our kids what they need to survive? And I think, like, the truth is, even if you aren't, if you seek God today and if you seek for Him and search for Him and ask Him to help you, it could be like that tree. Even if your kids aren't thriving today, because sometimes they don't, there are times in every kid's life where they're not doing as well, where they're not really showing progress, where they're, you know, going through some rebellion, where they're going through some just even maybe sadness or disconnection with people. And as fathers, we worry about that. Kids, you don't know how much as fathers we worry about those kind of things. We really care. We really do. And there's times where we think, oh, I hope I can get it right. But just trust in God. Trust in Him and He'll help you. So I was going to read this scripture. For the people that have had kind of challenging times with their dad, because this is, I think, a beautiful scripture. It's found in Psalm 68, verse 4 to 6. It says, sing to God, make music to praise His name, make a highway for Him to ride through the deserts. The Lord is His name. Celebrate His presence. The God who is in His holy dwelling place is the Father of the fatherless and the defender of the widow. God places lonely people in families. He leads prisoners out of prison into productive lives, but rebellious people will live in an unproductive land. So, if you need a dad, the Bible promises us that He would be a father to the fatherless. If you're a single mom or if you're a widow, He promised us that He would be a defender for you, that He would take care of you. So rely on Him. So anyway, I wanted to say this because sometimes as dads, we really, really do worry. And sometimes as dads, we don't know how it's going. And when we ask our kids, especially sons, how's it going? Good. So is there anything else you want to tell me? No. Like, what's new? Nothing. Right? Like, so what do you think about this? I don't know. Right? Our boys especially aren't really, really responsive. But I did a survey last Sunday night here in our young adults group. So I picked young adults because, you know, teenagers still have the opinion that their parents don't know anything and that one day they hopefully will learn something and they'll be better at being parents. But by the time they're young adults, you know, do you ever notice the difference how much your parents learned between the time you were 18 and the time you were 25? It's like they were dumb as dirt when you were 16, but when you're 25, they're brilliant. You call them all the time, ask them all kinds of questions, but when you're 16, they're dumb, right? But these kids were all sort of young people. We're all between 19 and probably 28. But this is a good group to ask to get a feedback and a response to how you guys are doing as dads. So the question I asked was, what good thing did your dad give to you or teach to you growing up? So, these are great answers. Dads, write these down. Because, like, most of you are represented here, and the ones that aren't, a lot of you got written about in the bulletin, so that's cool. But here's what they said. He gave us love. Number one best thing a father could give their kids, unconditional love. Taught us to have big hearts. He gave us a sense of belonging. He gave us discipline and financial stability. He taught us to be passionate for God. He taught us to be generous, to be wise, to be self-sacrificing, to be patient, to be loyal, to dream, to see the best in people, to be real, to work hard, to delay gratification, to put others before yourself, to be there, to be a learner, and to be a good decision maker. And then a couple of extra comments were, my father cares because he always wants me to say goodnight to him when I go to bed or when I come home, to stop and say goodnight. Or he's always trying to teach me things. So then I asked the question, because like with every positive, right, there's usually a negative. Right? Because there are things we're good at, there's things we struggle with. And I thought, this was really a really helping, learning kind of thing, even for me as a dad. It said, I also asked, what do you wish he would have done more? So, answer. I wish that he would not work as much, although we realize in order to have financial stability, he needs to work. This is why we ask young adults instead of teenagers. Good answer. Right? Because as dads, we want to provide. We want to do our best to give our kids what they need, the tools they need to move on in life. But there's a cost in it for us. Right? Most of us know that a 40-hour work week is a fable. Right? Not many people can make it on a 40-hour week. It takes more. And sometimes it's hard to draw the line when more is enough. But that's one of the things your kids wish, that you wouldn't work as much. So try and find that line. The other is to spend more one-on-one time. So out for dinner, sitting across the table, talking, listening, learning. The next one was to listen to me without trying to fix me. That's hard, eh, as men? Somebody tells you something, let's fix it. Right? But a lot of times our kids, they know the answer. They just want to share with us what's going on in their life, so that they can get going and that we know and that we're with them. And the last thing they said is to read the Bible together more as a family. They all most said that we realize our father has a relationship with God and we see him reading the Bible on his own, but we would really like it if we read the Bible together as a family more. So, that was the survey. I think that we deserve to give our guys a hand because I think that's a big, 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 big deal. I think it's amazing. I'm proud, again, to be part, you know, of a group of guys that really does have that kind of a passion. And you know what? Like our young adults, and really our young people, are just great people. So today, I just want to talk a little bit to fathers. Because one of the things I've seen over 30 years of youth ministry was, you know, I see dads that are really crying out to connect with their kids. And I see kids that are really crying out to connect with their fathers. You know, like if I said to every father in the house here this morning, do you love your kids? Everyone would say yes. Do your kids frustrate you? They drive me nuts. You know, like because I'm trying to connect, but I can't connect. We ask our boys especially. Now, I don't have a daughter, so I don't know. But I know the girls that I know from youth and stuff. If you ask them how you're doing, better be prepared to wait for a while because they'll tell you. Right? But boys are not as communicative as girls are. And we get frustrated and wonder, and we feel disconnected. At the same time, you know, if I talk to young people, a lot of them would say, well, I just really want to be loved and understood by my parents. So we have, you know, two different groups of people that really, really long to connect, but somehow are missing each other in the middle. And so I just want to give a few kind of like keys, I think, to how to connect. And then I'm just going to make this fairly quick because I want to give you guys time. There's no cafe today, right? So fathers, you get to go home and get spoiled right away, right after church, and be spoiled for the day. So first of all, I think it's really important for us to affirm our love for our children in front of others. It says this in Matthew 12, verse 18. This is the Father talking about His Son. God the Father talking about Jesus. Look well at my hand-picked servant. I love him so much. Take such delight in him. I place my spirit on him. He'll decree justice to the nations. The King James Version, I think, says, like, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. I think it's really, really important. The Father said that twice about Jesus. He said it there when Jesus was baptized before he went into the desert. And then he said it one other time when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration. God made a big deal about affirming his kids. So I did this experiment once before in church on Father's Day, and it was kind of, you know, want to give an opportunity, right, for a few of you here this morning that are parents to come on up to the front. And I want, if you would like, to have you affirm your child in front of us as a church, right? So I would ask my two boys come to the front. Levi, Logan, come on up. And then if you want to do it, you come on up too. No pressure. For my two sons, 14 and 16. Come close. Draw near, boys. I love these guys. Seriously? They are good boys. Levi, I think you're special. Because you really feel for people. I see a big compassion for people in you. And you sort of get how they feel. And you respond to that. And I'm proud of you. You're a good son. A good man. Really proud of you. Logan, proud of you because you're a really generous person. If you see a need or a desire even if you got $5 in your pocket, you just want to give it to somebody and share it with somebody. I'm really proud of you. You're a really good man. Love my boys. You guys can go away now. Does anybody else want to do that? Ed does.
I have two kids. My daughter's out in kids' church helping in there. And I'm really proud of my kids. It was an awesome week. I was thinking about that too. Wednesday, we as a family with some friends got to watch Alyssa walk across the stage at Brock University after 5 years of hard, incredible work that she put in. And she is a teacher. Mm-hmm. And I am... Yeah. So I'm super proud of her and the hard work that she's put in. And my son Joel here. Yesterday we got to play golf together. That was awesome, just him and me. We had a great time. He beat me. That's not that hard, but I take great pride in him that he is a professional golfer. He worked very hard at that, a great accomplishment that he worked very hard to do, and I'm very proud of him. But most of all, I'm proud that both my kids love the Lord and have a relationship with Jesus. They're not afraid to share it with their friends, and they do an awesome job of that, and I love them very much. And I bless them many times. I was going to save this for... And Joel's getting married in November, and I'm proud of the man he's become. And I was going to save this for them, but I'll probably say it again because somebody will be there anyways. But you know what? In today's world, people talk about exaggerating. And as dads and as parents, we probably use the saying on our kids, if I've told you once, I've told you, how many times? 1,000 times. You can ask my kids, and I've told them several thousand times. Probably, how many? 3, maybe 4,000 times. When I tuck them into bed at night, I bless them. Seriously. And I tell them, Joel and Alyssa, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. And I've done that for 10, maybe 15 years, almost every night. And when he used to go away on golf trips and stuff like that, I'd be gone for a week. I'd have to do it 7 times one night before I left. One for every night I wasn't going to be there. So if I've told them once, I've told them thousands of times that God would bless them and I love them.
Give me a...
I'm usually not the emotional type, but I got 3 kids, and I got 10 grandkids, and I got 3 son-in-laws, and I got all you guys, and 2 son-in-laws and 1 daughter. I'll get that right. I got to get my brain in gear. It's coming now. But you know, Andrea, I want to tell you how much I love you. How proud I am of you and my kids and all the hard work you do. You're so faithful. You're super organized. And most of all my kids and all my grandkids love the Lord. And that's my prayer for all my kids and grandkids. And when I get grandkids, that's my prayer for them too, that they all love the Lord. And I want you to pass on to your brother and sister and your kids and grandkids that I love you guys.
I came to this church with our children, and this is a number of years ago, and when you have an experience in your life where Christ is real in your life, you want your children to experience that as well. And it's a mantle you pass on that you think, is this really something that's going to affect their lives? Because it's so important in my own life that you want your children to carry that into their lives. It makes a whole difference in your life. So we set out to find a church that God is real, that you can have that real experience in your life. We found it in this church. And I said to my kids that this is the church we're going to. It's important that you experience Christ as something tangible in your life as you're going and going and going, that you need this. And as our children are growing up and they're married now, and I see that what we've instilled in their lives is real. My youngest now is a youth pastor with his wife, and they've got, I don't know, 60, 70 kids, youth. You see the older one, they all have a love for Christ. And it's going, Lord, your hand is upon my life, upon my children's life. And it's so good to see that it's, you know, we're just a small window of time in life. And that, it like every moment, like when you breathe, you see, you just see God's love all the way around you, that how can you not want to experience that for your children and your great-grandchildren, that just keep going, that Christ is real, everything's changing fast, but Christ is grounded. If it's grounded in your life, that makes the difference no matter what you go through. The highs and the lows in life, it makes the difference. And I'm glad that I came to this church, found this church, that it's real. It's so real, you know.
Your turn, Stephen. I'm a typical father. I've made a lot of mistakes as I was bringing up our family. I am so blessed. I have all my love for one. We were only blessed with one child, and I can give him all my love. When he goes through his problems, I go through them with him. When he hurts, I hurt. And he knows, because he's gone through a lot of hurts in the last little while too. And Margaret and I have stood with him, and we wanted to tell him we love him more than anything. I'm proud of him for what he's becoming, how he's allowing God to change his life. And I'm proud of him because of who he is in Christ.
Well, I really do love my children. Lord blesses us four beautiful children, adults now, sorry. And when I see my children, they're really gifted with, people love these people, kids. They do, you know, like they're really people persons. And if I remember my father, you know, even though he's passed away since 1988, I still run into people that really remember my father. You know, he was a man of peace. They all loved him. They all remember his smile and that. And, you know, Jonathan's got that. You know, like, you know, everywhere he goes, it doesn't matter what crowd he goes, you know, they gravitate to him, you know. So, you know, Jonathan, just stay close to the Lord, you know, and let the Lord fill your heart with himself, you know, because you have that gift that people can surround, you know, come around you, you know, and then that gift can go through you, and you can, you know, and positive, you know, impact their lives. So I want to bless you with that, you know. That's what I see in you. And Shannon, too, you know, like she's got such a mission heart. You know, she loves people. You know, she loves people that hurting people. She loves hurting people, you know, and she has a way of wanting to come really near to those kind of people, you know, and lift them up, you know, and show God's love, you know, and I'm blessed to see that, too. So, Shannon, keep that up, too. And I have a son, Jarrett. He's out west, and I'm proud of him, you know. He's staying on his own two feet, you know, and I pray for him all the time, you know, and you know, he puts a silly thing in, like, on Facebook or whatever, I don't know where it was, of him laying in bed with me when he was a little kid, you know. But that shows, tells me that he's thinking about me, you know, and he loves me, you know, and he just has a, you know, we're he's good. And Shannon, you know, I mean, Janine, she's, you know, she's so gifted with, she has, you know, creativity in her, you know, and people love being around her and that, you know, because she's just so creative in that, you know, and so I'm blessed with four beautiful children and a grandson and another one coming. So, okay. Thank you.
Awesome. Anybody else? We're all done? All through? All right. Okay. So, I think it's really important to affirm your kids. I was going to interview, but I think you can see the power of, you know, how children respond to your care and your love for them in the open. I think, like, a lot of us will say nice things when we're alone. But I remember I was at a conference about, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 years ago, and it was Dave Callinan was there, and he was introducing his son. His son was going to speak to him, and he said, "This is my son, Brody, in whom I'm well pleased." And something in me just triggered, and I thought, man, that's so powerful. I think you cannot diminish or really understand the full power of when a father affirms his children in front of others. God did it for his son. I think it's really important for us to do for our sons or daughters. So the second thing I wanted to say as a point to connect is God expressed his love to Christ, his son, and then he wanted his son to express it to us. In John 15, verse 9, it says, "I've loved you the way my Father has loved you, make yourself at home in my love." This was Jesus talking to his disciples. And he says, "I've loved you in the same way that my Father has loved me." And I think one of the big things, if we're going to really be able to connect with and love our kids, we need to make a big step in our relationship with God. There's something on the inside of us that needs God to help us, you know, to do it well. I don't know about you as dads, but there's a lot of times where you work hard, and sometimes you're in these seasons where work is challenging and work is busy, and you're tired, and you come home, and then your family needs you, and sometimes you just feel like you don't have it to give. It's like you've just given everything you can, you put it out on the field that day, you've come home, you've got nothing left. And those are the moments where we need to realize and rely on the love of God in our own hearts. In order for us to love our kids really effectively, we need to have a relationship with God. We need to connect with God. We need to spend time with God. We need to express our love to Him and allow Him to express His love to us. I think this morning, even in worship, if you're a person that enjoys worship, which I think we all should, because the Bible teaches us so much to worship God, to sing praises to His name. And I think the reason why is music really connects us to the heart of God. So, like, when we worship God and we sit in a place for a while, like this morning, worship was probably a half an hour long. And we were singing words to God, and we were saying things to Him. And I was thinking as we were moving through the progression of worship, it was just expressing more and more my heart toward God. And I could feel God starting to speak some things back into my own heart and speak to me and fill me and help me to be, you know, like, and we need to do that. We need to have that kind of relationship with God to really love our kids the best we can. I'm not saying you can't love your kids without that, but you'll love your kids more fully, and you'll have more to offer them and more peace to give them and more joy and more love as you connect to God. God fills every part of our life. For our children to feel really at home in our love, the kind of unconditional love that flows from the Father heart of God, we need to experience that love from God. So much about our world is conditional, right? So much about our life is conditional. So much about how we think about people and how we treat people is conditional upon how they treat us. I know I teach love from this pulpit many, many times. You know, like I probably would say love and relationships is one of the predominant themes that I teach year after year and really, really respond to. But there are times in my own life where people hurt me and I have to listen to what I taught to you about loving people, right? And I'm not trying to learn it from my own strength, but from the strength that comes from God and a relationship with Him. Because honestly, there's a lot of times when people hurt you. Like, I couldn't imagine really what it would be like to have a father walk out on me when I was a kid and not have that. I don't know. But like, the only thing that can fill that again really is the love of God and the care that God has for you and understanding that. So we need to pour out love and forgiveness, but we can only do that with the strength from God. It's not easy to love people. I was thinking about that Amish family down in the States who had, you know, someone come in into a, I think it was a school and kill their kids, you know, and how they offered freely love and forgiveness to that person who did it. Honestly, I couldn't do that. Honestly, being who I am and growing up where I grew up, without God, it would be my job to hunt him down and kill him. Honestly, but because of God and because of the relationship I have with him, he'll give me the strength to deal with that if that ever happened, that he would give me the love, because I don't have that love on my own. And sometimes with our kids, honestly, kids really don't always give to you. Anybody ever found that? Like, kids don't really feed you. Kids take from you. Kids absorb what you have to offer. Kids will grab and grab and grab. And I'm not saying that to be mean. It's part of growing up as a child and learning to walk in life, and we train them as, but there's a lot of times where we just don't have to give, but with God in our life and his power in our life, we can continue to give. It says in the Bible in Romans chapter 5, verse 6, it says, Christ arrives right on time to make this happen. He did it. It doesn't wait for us to get ready. He presented himself for this sacrificial death when we were far too weak and rebellious to do anything to get ourselves ready. And even if we hadn't been so weak, we wouldn't have known what to do anyway. So there's a thing that God does in us, that Jesus did in us, even when we didn't know we needed it or wanted it, he did it. And we have to lay hold of that by relationship with him. Third point is follow up your love words with corresponding action. It's easy to say, I love you, 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 I love you. People say, I love you when they're beating their wives. People say, I love you when they're beating their kids. People say, I love you all the time. People, you know, guys, when they're trying to get, you know, a girl to do what they want, they tell them, I love you. It doesn't mean anything. Love is a verb. Love is expressed in action, and we need to follow up our love words with corresponding action. This scripture, John chapter 21, verse 15 to 17, says, after breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than you love these? Yes, master, you know I love you, Jesus said. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Then he asked a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, master, you know I love you. And Jesus said, shepherd my sheep. Then he said in a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was upset that he had asked for the third time, do you love me? So he answered, master, you know everything there is to know. You've got to know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. There is a corresponding action that goes with love. So I remember this very clearly. I've been married, like I said, we're going to be married 20 years this week. And like my wife and her father, they have good love for each other. But my father was in getting a kidney transplant about 8 or 9 years ago. And we were visiting him in the hospital. And when we were saying goodbye, Christine bent over his bed and gave him a kiss. Now, that's the first time I've seen her kiss her dad since we got married. And the action, right, she told him, "I love you, Dad." She tells him that all the time. But when she bent over his bed and gave him a kiss, I saw so much emotion and so much, you know, relationship pass in that moment that I'd never seen really between. My father-in-law is not an emotional person, and he had tears in his eyes. Christine's really not an emotional person, and she had tears in her eyes because there was an action that went along with the words. We need to have that. I believe there's such a great foundation laid as we follow up our love talk with love deeds. What if God would have just said, "I love you," and had never sent Jesus to really change our world? We'd never know. We might have an idea, but our world wouldn't have never been changed. Our lives would have never been what they are today if God would have just said but never done. But Jesus, in the most famous verse in the Bible, said God so loved the world that he backed it up with a corresponding action. He gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Just the love of God without the corresponding action wouldn't have done it. We needed Jesus to come and give his life. And we need to follow up our love talk with love deeds. I think like seriously, this morning, when dads were up here, you know, giving, you know, affirmation to their kids, that's a love deed. I think like, you know, one of the things that's fun to do is just to write a note once in a while and put it in your kid's lunch bag. You know, follow up, just talk with a deed, right? And do that because it makes a difference. As a father, you must set the tempo of love in your home. You must correct in love. You must rebuke in love. You must encourage in love. You must praise in love. And all of this with a heart to build and to strengthen. You know, like there's so much about life in this world we live in. It's crazy. It's probably crazier than it's ever been. And we know about the crazy in moments. I was thinking, last month, I think, when the Boston Marathon was being run, before it even hit the newspapers, Twitter was just firing about the bomb exploding, people dying, people being blown up. Like, we are fed instantly everything that goes on in this world. It's a sad, crazy world. And our kids need, you know, us to communicate love to them, security to them. They need us. You know what? Do not be afraid of your kids. They're not as tough as they seem. You know, like I always, whenever I tell someone I work with teenagers, they're like, "Are you crazy?" I'm like, "They're fun." And a lot of times it's because you guys are afraid of them. And sometimes we're afraid to love kids. Sometimes we're afraid to do the right thing. Loving, once in a while, is correcting. Right? If you always let your kids do everything you want, it might be a really comfortable ride for you for a while, but your kids will be hellions. Your kids will act like maniacs. You've got to love them by correcting them. By telling them off, rebuking them once in a while. You need to do it. You need to show them that you love them in that way. But as a father, you set that tempo. But we need to do it. Whenever we do, and whatever we do, we need to do it with a heart, right, to build up and to strengthen. I'm not, again, I think sometimes we live in such a temporal kind of world that everything's got to happen in this moment. But what we talked about last time I was talking was that, you know, like, I'm not trying to raise perfect kids. I'm trying to raise godly kids. And we have to take a long-term approach to that. Today might not be fun. You know, there's times in my kid's life where I have to say, that's enough. And there's been some really tense moments in those times where I've said, no, we're not doing that. You're not going there. We're not doing that. You know, and I don't make any friends when I do that. But the long-term effect of it is that they're growing up to be stronger and better because they realize there's someone that cares for them. And you need to do that. Today, Jesus is saying to you, as he was to Peter, feed my lambs. He wants us as fathers to really show love and carry on love and bring love to people, our kids especially, by a corresponding action. God has entrusted us with the stewardship of these children. So we need to love them both in word and in deed. The last thing is a pretty simple thing, and I think I talk about this whenever I talk about fathers. But have fun with your kids. You need to laugh. You need to enjoy life. You need to you know, really just lay back once in a while and just have a good laugh until your gut hurts. It's taking the time to relax. You don't have those kind of times unless you spend time together. You know? And whatever makes that work in your family, like I have two sons that are fairly sarcastic, and we get together and start goofing around. We could get laughing pretty hard, you know, just goofing around with each other. You know, whatever it takes, but you need to find a way to connect and to laugh and to play together. We go away a couple times a year as a family, and we'll go hiking, we'll go play tennis, we'll do whatever. You need to take that time. You need to connect. The old saying goes, they won't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And part of that is just having fun. One of the most powerful ways that a father can show love to his children is to do things with them that they enjoy doing. So do it. Guys, I just really want you to have a great day today. So we're going to close this up in prayer. And Lord, we just come this morning, and we are so thankful to you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. We're so thankful that you've given us the privilege for us that are men here and our fathers, Lord, to be dads. And Lord, I just pray that today, Lord, you'll just really affirm us again as fathers, Lord. Show us what we're doing good, and Lord, help us to enjoy this day. But Lord, I just pray, Lord, that each man that's in this place that's dad, or even the ones that are going to be a dad someday, Lord, that you would, Lord, just anoint them and empower them today to do well, to live strong, to be godly, Lord, to care, to have compassion and concern, Lord, to rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Lord, I just pray that you would just really, Lord, strengthen, Lord, and empower Father's Day. And Lord, even as we leave this place now, Lord, I pray that you'd go with us, Lord, and that you would, Lord, just let us experience your presence today and help us to walk out this life with you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everyone. Have a great Father's Day. God bless you.